Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. On the program today, on the cup, Jenny Damaris. She's the Emergency Manager for Lincoln County. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on the program. In just a moment, we're going to connect the dots with the Everbridge system and also emergency management from Lincoln County and what it means to you. And I know Bob King said, Everbridge. Well, and I appreciate that. He may be overloaded with Everbridge because we are just really trying to push this. And I think, Jenny, maybe we could just start out and say, we've got a countywide test coming up. Get signed up.
Right. So, you know, as some people might say, we're overwhelmed with Everbridge. But let me just remind you, we have a population of approximately, 46,000 people. Mm-hmm. And the number of individuals or businesses that have actually signed up with Everbridge to date is only 892. So when you take that to the percentage of our population, that's only 2%. Now, granted, a lot of our population is under the age of 18, but still only 892 citizens out of the entire county has had the time to stop, sign up for Everbridge, and get their information so that we can make sure that we reach them with that. So we have a long ways to go, and I am actually intentionally not looking at our numbers until after our 17th mm-hmm. test date, because I want to see, just of all this marketing that we're doing, how many more individuals, families, and businesses have signed up since then.
And, you know, though, this is a good success so far, even though we're not really near where we want to be, but as you had mentioned in the commissioners' meeting last week, that our ratio is near what other counties have been that have been doing this for years. Right?
Yeah. So, like, for example, our adjacent county, Benton County, they've had the program in conjunction with Linn County, and their population is over double of what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have a 3% population, 3% sign up, if you will, as compared to our 2%. And we've basically only been on board for 2 months. So I feel really good about what we're going, but I'm going to be even more excited to be able to top the numbers of our adjacent counties.
You know, we have to give a thanks and a shout out to all of our media that has been supporting
us,
like KCUP, like Bob King, and the other news sources in the county who are getting their icons, the citizen alert icons on their websites, which we would be happy to send anyone that contacted you or I.
Yep.
We'll get those for you to put on your website. We've got posters. Yep. We've got information cards. So.
And also, like, the community groups, such as senior services, senior centers, and also our faith-based community. That, I think, that's going to be the group that we're really going to see that's going to be able to help us spread our message, because they're such a collective group about helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be able to help those individuals that don't have a computer at home or may not have computer skills, or what I'm really hoping for, they'll say, hey, come in on this Sunday before church. We'll have a couple of computers, and we'll help those that need the help get signed up. So that's what I'm really, really hoping for. I've got some really great individuals that are helping me to promote that in the faith-based group, and I'm very excited.
Jenny, maybe we can jump back and look at the big picture, because Lincoln County Emergency Management, you're our emergency manager. You've been on the ground about 90 days. I mean, you're all about safety and making the public aware of things that they need to do and the resource that we are for them when
Right.
it comes to a disaster. Can you talk about what is emergency management as far as Lincoln County is concerned?
Yeah, so actually, if you think about emergency management for the county, you can sort of break it into sort of three sections. First and foremost, our primary responsibility is the safety and accountability of our employees that work for the county, to make sure we know where they are, they're accounted for, that they've been prepared, they have the resources they need. Second to that would be actual county operations. We need to make sure that we're able to keep the essential services up and functioning under the worst conditions. It may be on a limited basis. We might move part of our behavioral health or mental health services for the public health to a different building because their current building is in the tsunami inundation zone. So it's really about that flexibility, but ensuring we keep those basic essential services up and running. And thirdly, which may be more visually prominent to the citizens, is going to be our liaison role to our public safety agencies. We are the center point back to the state of Oregon when we need resources here locally. If our North Lincoln Fire District has an event at the north end of the county and they need additional resources and we've utilized all those in their adjacent fire districts and we have to go to other counties or to the state, then that's what our job as county emergency management comes into play. We become their liaison to the state to say we need additional resources, or just information sharing back and forth to keep us a status assessment between North County and South County, so we have an idea of what's going on. So really you'll see that county emergency management for our public safety agencies is that liaison, or I sort of refer to it as sort of, I'm the glue that's sort of keeping all those groups together. And so those are our three basic components.
When we look at our county, I know one of the questions in the meeting the other day was posed, well, what kind of challenges does Lynn or Benton County have compared to us? And would you say that, you know, we have considerably more variety of disaster types or emergencies that occur here? I mean, is it the tsunami that makes us potential that makes us so different? I mean,
so,
what can we expect?
So first and foremost, what I would say is the geography of our county. We have the likelihood that each and every one of our communities will be isolated either to a windstorm because down trees, flooding because we have riverways and waterways everywhere throughout our county, or for an earthquake, which we know is going to take out our culverts, our bridges, our major roads. And so we know that our entire county, all these little neighborhood communities, are going to become isolated. Now, they do have that in our adjacent counties, you know, inland, if you will, but really, they have much flatter land, so they have more opportunities to, I think, travel about their counties or come up with alternate routes. We literally have to go up a hill, down a hill, up a hill through a Forest Service road in order to get through the other side. But on the other side, the benefit to us, we have a beautiful ocean. We know that we have a resource that's available to us that they don't have. The other piece to that would be, yes, you're right, the tsunami. That is, they don't have to deal with that, but they have more likelihood for flooding or maybe utility outages that maybe we don't necessarily. So, yeah, there are some unique differences.
Yeah, generally storm watchers run to the coast.
That's right.
They don't head into the valley. So,
right.
Yeah, and, of course, the distant tsunami last year, I mean, that really made us have a second look at the potential that this could cause problems for us. And so I think really by having you become the emergency manager, basically reactivating that position, revitalizing that department is just really good news for us.
It is.
And in your history, real quickly, I mean, this has really been something you've been working at for a while. And it seems like it distills perfectly into your position at emergency management because you know by working together it makes us most effective.
What is the daily life, or let's say the daily month for emergency management?
Sure.
So what I work on a lot is the communication from the state. So here's an example. This week and next week I'm going to be providing a training to our public safety agencies on initial damage assessment and preliminary damage assessment. So Oregon Emergency Management has put that training together. And then they hand it off to us as a county emergency manager to train our public safety agencies, our school districts, our city municipalities, as well as public utility districts. And the importance of that is when we have some sort of an event that causes damage to our structures, our roads, our buildings, that we need to fill out the appropriate forms so that we're all reporting the damage in the same process, the same dollar amounts, the same way. So then what we do as county emergency management, we would roll all that up, roll it up to the state, and then the state has a perspective of what damage Lincoln County has sustained so that they know that we either meet the criteria for federal help or state help to get the reimbursement for that, or that they know it's pretty much a small event. Thanks for, you know, giving me the information, and you don't really meet the criteria. But it's my job to go back to the locals and say, okay, wait a minute. Let's relook at this. Are you sure? Let's give your information to me. And then I help support us together. I'm the advocate going up to the state to make sure that we get what's rightfully ours.
Yeah, and there are a lot of complexities to making sure we can get funding and keeping track of resources used.
Yep.
It's one of those things that's very important that, you know, we usually talk about saving lives. We talk about mobilizing people. But it's very crucial that all this is documented. And you know, and that throws an interesting paradigm into the situation when you're going crazy, running around.
Well, and a lot of my job is pre-planning. Because aside from the city of Lincoln City and the Siletz tribe, no one actually has any personal hours dedicated for emergency management.
Lincoln County Connections, Jenny Damaris is on the show with us, our emergency manager. Okay, we better get into Everbridge. We've got that countywide test coming. First thing people should do would be to
So first of all, if you haven't taken the time to sign up, then please do so. I would encourage that you do individual signups and not a family profile. And the reasoning for that is if a husband and wife, and let's say you happen to have two teenagers in your home, and you all sign up under the same family profile, then the first person who presses one or texts back yes to confirm this message, then the other members in your profile will not receive that message. And it is important for us to know that that profile has received the message, because when we're looking at the statistics on the other side of that report for county emergency management or 911 dispatch, we need to know what's the percentage of the population that actually heard the message, especially if it's like an evacuation declaration. Also, too, I've heard some comments about, well, we're still going to keep our family profile. We just won't press one. Okay, that's fine. But then what happens if there's only two of you and what you're doing is you're forcing the system to dial more numbers that maybe it didn't necessarily need to? Because if you did hear the message and you have three more phone numbers in your profile, mm-hmm. it will just continue to go to each one of those devices until it actually gets a confirmation. The other thing that we're doing as part of our lessons learned from Everbridge, from the three activations that we've done, one, what we heard from our citizens was, you know, I get the first message on my home phone and I'm sitting here with my personal phone and my work phone, but pretty soon it's like they're ringing one right after another. I mm-hmm. haven't even had time to confirm the message. This mm-hmm. is just crazy. And so we looked at the formatting in the program software, and there was a feature that we could change. So now the Everbridge, when it dials the first device, it will give you 3 minutes to listen to the message, and then if it still doesn't get a confirmation, mm-hmm. then it will go to the next device that you have in your profile. And also another point being, if you have multiple family members on the same profile, then you're also delaying that response to them. Because if what will happen is it will dial the first number in your profile, then it will go on to, let's say, your husband's personal phone and then to a teenager's phone. But then you're taking 3 minutes in between. So the last person on your list could actually be up to 12 minutes before they would actually get the message. So that's why it's really important. If you have four adult individuals or mm-hmm. teenager age group, create individual profiles for them so that they get the first call out.
You know, Jenny, and as far as personal preparation goes, I mean, making a plan for your family, encouraging each person to have their own profile could say, look, take responsibility
Absolutely.
For where you are, for the awareness of the fact that at a very early age, you can begin thinking about, hey, where do I fit into my family plan? And not necessarily just waiting for mom or dad, you know, to call you, but to fit into that plan that you've, you know, designed for your family.
Right. So a couple more things I want to point on, lessons learned from those activations.
Yeah.
Our 911 dispatch centers, for these three examples would be Lincoln. Each time we send out these Everbridge messages, we had it defaulted as the caller ID number for Lincoln. Well, we realized early on that's probably not the appropriate number, even mm-hmm. if they made the notification, because what happens is across all of our caller IDs, it looks like it's the Lincoln backdoor number. And then if people weren't really sure what the message was, or maybe they got a message on their voicemail, they just see the caller ID and they just assume that there's some sort of emergency that we were personally calling that citizen, and that's mm-hmm. not the case. So when we have an Everbridge message go out, please do not contact Lincom or the other 911 dispatch centers. If there's other information to be given, such as the Toledo activation for the missing juveniles, we will put the contact number in there if you need to give information or if you found the missing individuals or to get more information. So look for the phone number for additional information within the message, not on the caller ID. That would be very helpful.
You know, and for some of the younger phone users or those who text a lot, I know some individuals who don't pick up their phone when it rings, but they do when they get a text message. Everbridge
right.
provides a way for you to receive texts as well, numerous delivery
right.
mechanisms.
And that's the great thing about the individual profile is you can decide how you want to receive the message. In my personal profile, I have it set up that I receive the text message first. Reason being, I'm on my personal cell phone or my work cell phone. Sometimes I might only have one or two bars, and so getting an actual voice call might be challenging. Hmm. But most generally, the text call will still come through with just one bar. And that way, plus two, I can read it quickly and respond and move on without actually having to listen. So for me, that works better for my profile. But yes, it will send text messages, alpha pager messages. It will send to a fax machine. It will send to your email, to a mobile phone, a home phone, cell phone, landlines. It'll send to pretty much everything.
You know, when I went and signed up, it probably took me 5 minutes to do it. It's a very quick process. So Folks shouldn't be too intimidated. It's not complicated.
Right. The concerns I've heard is two things. When you're adding your contact information, there's been some confusion about the two columns on the right-hand side. One says emergency alerts, the other says community alerts. And there's a numbering system of 1 through 10. It doesn't really clearly define what the 1 through 10 means, but what it does represent is you're telling Everbridge what is the first device you want the software program to contact you at. If you put your personal text phone number there, it'll call that first. The number two means what's the next device. So that's what that numbering system is for. And then the last piece, I've heard lots of citizens indicate, you know, I tried to put in my address and the geo mapping didn't really accept it. And then what you have to do is use the map feature in your mouse and actually move the map around until you get to your neighborhood or where this residence or business is that you want to have the information on, and then pinpoint it with the little red dot, with the little red flag. And then, because what happens, it may be the same thing. You go out to Google Maps or another map feature, and you put your address in, and it doesn't really recognize it. Out here in rural America, sometimes, you know, our maps, not all the addresses are on there yet, especially like a new neighborhood.
Right. Well, that's the Everbridge countywide test. And what's the date on that, Jenny?
That's going to be January 17th at 10 a.m.
So it's going to go off at 10, and so folks should be really... really respond, please, because it's going to give us an inventory about where we're at so far. And if you haven't signed up.
Right. And the two objectives, the reason why we're doing a full countywide test is, number one, a tsunami warning response. We need to know how long will it truly take Everbridge to dial out 29,000 phone numbers for our county. So then when we finish writing or revising our response plan for a tsunami warning or a full-scale event, then we'll know how much time do we need to plan for. Is it going to take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? And then we'll write that into our response plan.
Okay. Well, with the last minute here, please go sign up online. If you don't have computer access, get to your local library.
Neighbors.
Use a friend. Encourage your family and friends to get signed up. And also, if you want to display posters, information cards, icons on your website, you can contact either Jenny or I. There's information on the county homepage as well that has more details. And also the sign-up page through the sheriff's office section of the website has FAQs, and a lot of this is explained, so you can walk through it very quickly and easily. And Jenny, last but not least, where can you be contacted at Lincoln County?
Yeah, so my phone number is 541-265-4199.
Thank you, Jenny Damaris, our emergency manager. We'll see you next week.